Am I on? Yep. All right. Good deal. Brianna, my six-year-old, lost her final preemie tooth. Her grill is outer space right now. But the permanent ones are coming. Yes, the tooth is in a Ziploc bag. Her first tooth is in a Ziploc bag too. We still have it. I don't know how long we're gonna keep it, but 20 years, we still have it. Well, praise God.
Amen.
It's a great night. Want to share with you from the Word, if that's okay, a little bit. Here for a few minutes, we're gonna teach and share on godly success tonight. Godly success. Brian, am I successful? I can't answer that question until you tell me what your definition of success is. Tell me what your definition of success is, and then we can tell you whether or not you are successful. And many people have different mindsets and definitions of what success is, but is your definition correct? And as a child of God, you want to make sure that you are defining success the way God defines success. And if money, a nice home, a nice car, plenty of friends, a good family, children, being married, some people think they're a failure if they're not married or never got married. But if influence, education, degrees, who you know, the praise of men, if that's your definition of success, then maybe you are, maybe you aren't. If those boxes in your life are not checked. But what is God's definition of success? And it's simple. Doing His will. Doing what God said do. Did you do what God told you to do? Did you do His will? Well, Brian, I don't have this. I don't have that. I haven't achieved this. I see a hole here in my life, a hole here. In the area of friends, I see a hole. In the area of being married, I see a hole. In the area of people liking me, I see a hole. In the area of finances, I see a hole. But He said you are complete in Him. There are no holes in Him. And so it's important that we are measuring success by the kingdom standard, by God's standard. Did you do His will? Did you do what He told you to do? Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 talents more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, what? Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. of many things. The goal is to hear well done. The goal is not to see how many things you can get, how many people you can meet, how much fame you can have. The goal is to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, my good and faithful child. The things of the world that they consider success do not necessarily represent the success of God. Having money, having fame, having a nice home, having a nice car, having plenty of friends, these may be byproducts of success, but it depends on how you got them. Because if you got the boat, you got the car, you got the house by doing something God told you not to do, by spending something God told you not to spend, then it is not success. If you got the boat and now you no longer come to church on Sunday mornings because you're out on the lake, you do not have success. Success is solely dependent upon, did I do what God told me to do? Did I say what God told me to say? Did I do His will? Those things of the world may be byproducts of what God is doing in your life. And when God is working and flowing in your life, those things will manifest in a variety of different ways depending upon your bent, what you need. So it's important that you don't compare your success to somebody else's success. Well, they're married. I'm not. I'm not successful. They have a lot of friends, but you may have a lot of influence. They have a lot of cars, but you may have a lot of clothes, depending upon what God has called you to. You may need a specific wardrobe. It's not about having things for the sake of having things. It's about having things for a purpose, for a godly purpose, for a kingdom purpose, for a reason. So you want to make sure that you aren't comparing yourself to others and thinking you're a failure because this one is able to do this, but I can't. This one flows in this area, but I don't. No. What did God tell you to do? What did God call you to do? And if you can come to the end of your life and be ready to go home to your eternal reward, and you're able to say, I did what God told me to do with my life. That is success. If you're able to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, that is success. It's not what the world says is, it's what God says is. Man cannot tell you whether a born-again child of God is successful or not. Only God can. Make sure your definition of success is God's definition. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and burnt offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. The body that God has prepared for you, the body that God has given you, is not so you can do your own thing. It's not so you can go off and say, God, help me do what I want to do. It's so that you can submit to God's will, plan, and purpose and say, Lord, here I am. What is your bidding? What would you have me do? You've given me this body to do your will. And whenever you are a good steward of the body he has given you to do his will, that is success in the kingdom of God. And that is something that makes Jesus smile, that makes God smile. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. He was in the garden sweating, and it was tough for him because he was about to go to the cross. And Peter tried to stop him twice. And Jesus said, I must do what God has called me to do. I must do God's will. And so by the disciples' estimation, the Lord's crucifixion and death was a failure. They thought he was going to set the kingdom up now. So to them, it was a failure because they weren't measuring by God's standard. In God's eyes, it was a success because that's what God has called him to do. That's why God sent him here. Make sure that you aren't calling God's success is failures and God's failure success. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 6. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. This is what you want to be able to say at the time of your departure. Not, I have amassed this, this, and this. Not, I have obtained this and this. Not, I got to meet so and so. Not, look at all my successes, my degrees. Not, look at all the people who love me. No, I have fought the good fight. He says, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We want to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have done the thing that God has put in front of me to do. I have run my course. Are you running your course? Not somebody else's course. Are you fighting the fight of faith that God has put in front of you? Not fighting somebody else's fight of faith. Not trying to finish someone else's race, but finish your race. So success in the kingdom of God, in the things of God, is equivalent to doing God's will, to submitting to his flow, to submitting to what he has for you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 describes failure. What does failure look like to God? It is not, I never got married. It is not, I never had children. It is not, I never got this much money. It is not, I never got a chance to go to this country or that country. It is not, I never got a chance to travel. Romans chapter 6, chapter 3, not chapter 6. In verse 23, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 describes failure. For all have sinned and fall short. What is falling short? It's failure. Fall short of the glory of God. If anything, I don't want to be consumed with what I have and what I don't have. I want to be consumed with whether or not I am walking in the glory of God. He says failure is falling short of his original intent. Failure is falling short of the glory that he's established for you. That glory is in Christ Jesus. I want to lay hold of, Paul said, all that Christ Jesus laid hold of me for. He said, Christ Jesus laid hold of me for a reason. I want to lay hold of that. Not laying hold of that is failure. Not what your cousin, your aunt, your grandmother, your niece, your nephew say you should be doing, how you should be doing it, the people around you, your family. No. Failure is not doing what God has called you to do. Failure is not stewarding what God has put in front of you. When it's time to go home to be with the Lord, it's going to be a great joy to be able to say, I did not live for man. I did not live for the world. I did not live by the world standard. I simply did what God told me to do, what God showed me, what God had called me to do. And whether it was, and this is where people get hung up, whether it was small or it was large, it doesn't matter. If God has called you to pray in your closet at home to do that for 20 years and that's all you ever do, and that's what God told you to do, that is success. If God told you to help the poor and get them off the street, and that's all you do for 20 years, that is success. If God tells you, come to church, be faithful, serve where you can, and you do that for 40 years, that is success if that's what God told you to do. Well, that example, God has told us all to do that to some degree. But you understand what I'm saying. It's what God has told you to do. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is, how grand or not grand the world says it is. If God tells you to send people encouraging notes and you do that for 20 years, that is success. We're not looking for the applause of man. We're looking for the applause of God. We have an audience of one watching. As I'm up here teaching, I see all of you, and I'm thankful to God for that, but really I have an audience of one, and he is evaluating whether or not I'm sharing what he told me to share, whether or not I'm doing what he's told me to do. I appreciate people. I appreciate my brothers and sisters in Christ, but the biggest thing is, am I doing what God told me to do? Do you have to have fanfare to be faithful? Do you have to have fanfare to do what God has told you to do? If God told you to come up to the church and do such and such and nobody else was here, do you have to send out an email or a text saying, hey, I just did this? You don't need recognition from man. You need recognition from God. And doing what God has told you to do, no matter how small or big, that is success. That is godly success. So failure in the kingdom of God is falling short of the glory that God has put in front of you. That glory is in Christ Jesus. Laying hold of the reason that he laid hold of you. All ministries, churches, families, businesses, organizations, endeavors should allow God to define success for them up front. When you start a ministry or start a church, it's important that you define what success looks like. Because if success is having an impact on the culture around you and on the city around you, then you won't be disappointed because you don't have 2,000 people in your church like the church down the street. It's fine if we have 2,000, but God never said that that was the goal. So I have to let God define for me what success is, and it is whatever he says. If I'm caught up looking at the church down the street, If I'm caught up with looking at the ministry over here, if I'm caught up looking at the business over here and saying, look at all the applause they're getting. Look at how many people know them because they're doing this. I'm not doing this. I must be a failure. No, what did God say success looked like for you up front? If you don't allow God to define success for you, you will be confused. You will be trying to do this, 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 and this, searching for something that's not there. As a family, it's important that you allow God to define success for your family. Is it because we take a lot of trips? Is it because we have a lot of fun together? There's nothing wrong with trips or fun. But at the end of the day, when the family is over, what do you want to be able to say about your family to God? Do you want to be able to say, Father, I have train them, raise them to the best of my ability by your grace. And the focus was giving them what they needed to become more and more like you so that they can do your will. Or does success look like, well, we got them graduated. They went to college. They got a good job. We got retirement. And we traveled to France. If any of those things or things like that are the boxes you're looking to check for success in your family, and those boxes aren't checked, when you get ready to go be with the Lord, you may feel like a failure. But I have news for you. Those are not the boxes we're looking to check. Those may be byproducts of the boxes that we need to check. But the box we said is simple. Did I do what God told me to do? Did I finish the course that He gave me to finish? Or was I consumed with a fantasy of success defined by the world that says you need to be this, you need to do this, you need to do it this way? You need to make sure you accomplish this by the time you're this age, and if you haven't, you're a failure. I'm amazed to hear how many young adults think that if they're not married by the time they're 30, then they're a failure. Their biological clock is ticking. If they haven't had kids by the time they're 40, I'm a failure. Well, if that's the case, I'm pushing it very close. I got married when I was 28. I had my first child when I was 39. A couple more years, I would have been a failure. No, it's what God defines as success. It's what God tells you to do in the season. He directs and leads you to do it. And just because the world says 25 is the season you should get married, doesn't mean that that's God's season. Just because the world says that by this time you should have kids does not mean that that's the season of God for you. Well, Brian, you might get too old. You won't be able to do anything. Be it according to you, be it to you according to your faith. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Make sure you're allowing God to define success for you. If success for your business is the amount of revenue you generate, and that's what God said, then so be it. But if success for your business or your organization is the number of people you serve and the number of people you impact, then let that be what you're going after. And don't be disappointed if you don't make as much money as the business down the street. If God said that was not success, that was not the main goal, then don't worry about it. You let God define for you up front what success is when you start. That way you can focus on the right things. You can't focus on everything in business or in ministry or in a family. You just can't do everything. You can't be all things to all people. So then what do? You get a singular focus on what God told you to do, and you stay right there in that lane. You heard the phrase, stay in your lane? Some of y'all crossing all over here. We're going to go back over here. Who is this driver? Stay in your lane. That's your lane. Yo. I do know proper English and grammar, but I also ran the streets too. In a previous life. No. Well, yeah, it was a previous life. What is the goal of your family? Let God define that for you so that at the end, you are not disappointed. So many people are disappointed with their lives because they're measuring by the wrong standard. They came up with their own ideas and dreams and said, God, help me do this. That's not the way God operates. You know what's so powerful about Genesis chapter 12, verse 1? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God started the conversation. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 starts off, and God said to Abraham. And then after that, Abraham went. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And then there was light. Allow God to start the conversation of your pursuits, your endeavors, your dreams. Joseph didn't give himself his own dream. God gave him the dream. God put it in your heart. Allow God to establish your plans or his plans in your heart. Allow God to give you the dreams. Well, Brian, you're taking too long. I come up with my own dream. Come up with my own plan. No. You wait as long as it takes for it to be God. Now, I'm not saying that you should not step out and see whether or not it is God if you have an unction. But all the while in stepping out, you want to have the attitude, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I believe this is the direction that you're leading me in, but if it's not, show me. I'm not saying be lazy and don't do anything. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord to do something. Whether he tells you verbally, or he tells you by his spirit, or he tells you through someone else, or he tells you by his word, which a lot of times, he's already given us a command on what to do in a lot of areas. However it comes to you, through the word, through meditating, your time in prayer, however it comes to you, allow God to birth it in you. Allow God to speak it to you. Allow God to be the director of your life. Don't be insecure because your peers, that could be age peers, that could be ministry peers, that could be career peers, because your peers seem to be succeeding and they're doing it this way and you're not. Don't allow that to make you insecure. Every dream, every pursuit, every goal should be submitted to God. I'm going to say that again. Every dream, every pursuit, and every goal should be submitted to God. Again, not that God has to come down and show up to you in person, but that pursuit, that goal that you set, that dream that you have, you want to make sure that it is submitted to him, and it's not that it's of the spirit and it's not of the flesh. I'm going to say it this way. You want to make sure that every pursuit and every dream has its origin in God. You want to make sure every dream and every pursuit and every goal has its origin in God and not in the flesh. There's two different things. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 3. Brother Steve talked about this a little bit last week. James chapter 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. God has not committed himself to making your plan succeed. You want to make sure that the origin of your dream is not so that you can spend it on your pleasures. You want to make sure that the motives behind your dream and behind your goals is not so that you can satisfy some sort of worldly pleasure, so that you can prove your mom wrong, so that you can prove your dad wrong. They said I couldn't do this. Aunt Myrtle Fay said I would never be able to do this. When you set out to prove people wrong, you miss God. That is a wrong motive. Don't do what you do to prove people wrong. Don't do what you do for man at all. Do what you do because God told you to do it. Because God called you to do it. Because God unctioned you to do it. Because God showed you to do it. You don't want to be driven by wrong motives. It is tiring and it is frustrating. And it'll wear you out. Living for other people will wear you out. Doing what the world calls success for the sake of being able to say, look, I did that, I did that, I have this, I have that, it will wear you out. Trying to please man will wear you out, especially if you're a born-again child of God. No, God has given you a specific unction to function. Make sure you do that. Not what the world tells you to do. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, according to his will, according to his will, he hears us. I share with you last week, Brianna asked me if she could have some money so she could give it to Catherine because she thought Catherine would enjoy it. Before she could finish making the request, I said yes. Why? She wanted to be a blessing. Now, Catherine didn't need the money. I don't know where she's going to spend it. But I wasn't concerned about that. I was concerned about her heart. And I was concerned about the sisters loving each other. For God said, love one another. And that was my heart. And because she touched my heart, the answer was yes before she finished her request. With God and the things of God, the answer is yes even before you make the request, when it's his will. Whatever you ask according to his will. Why are we here? Why do we have a body? To do his will. If I am flowing in the will of God for my life, and my motives are right, my motives are pure, there's no hidden agenda as to this pursuit, this dream, this goal. I didn't say, Lord, all right, here's the plan for my life. Now you come and help me do it. No, it's Lord, I don't have a plan. I'm here. Bid me, send me, whatever you have for me, I am open. In that mode, with that attitude, God says, ask whatever you will and it shall be done. It's where your will becomes his will. It's where the two become one flesh. Paul said this is a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The two becoming one. That's why what marriage looks like is so important to God. It's not what man says marriage is, it's what God says marriage is. And it's so important to God. Why? Because it represents something. It represents Christ and the church. Ask whatever you will and it shall be done. The answer is already yes. Every promise of God in Christ is what? Yes and amen. Every promise in him, when you are operating and flowing in him, when you are flowing in God's will, plan, and purpose for your life, the answer is already yes, even before you make the request. What does success look like? Philippians chapter 3. In verse 3, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Now he's about to give you his earthly resume. He's about to tell you that in my time, in my day, these were the boxes that you'd be looking to check if you wanted people to call you successful. Mm-hmm. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day, as commanded in the law, of the nation of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That is my resume. I check this box, and this box. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Brother Damon has shared time and again his testimony when it comes to music. And where he was as a very young adult to where he is now. And he said, Lord, in so many words, this wasn't his exact words. This is Brian's rendition of it. Lord, you put music inside of me. I understand the way I'm going about it now is not what you have for me. Lord, you speak. You show me. You tell me how you want me to do music. And that I will do. And he did it. He's done it. He's doing it. Yeah. He has continued to do it. Yes, he has other giftings and callings that he flows and operates in. But he stayed with what God has given him. And whatever success he and his group have, maybe it is tens of thousands of people. And that would be great. That would be wonderful. But even if it's two or three, there's a song by Joanne Rosario where she says, I'm going to tell you what Daddy told me. In everything you do, give God the glory. Every opportunity you're given, sing your song for two as you would for 1,000. That is powerful. You sing your song for two as you would for 1,000. You preach your message for two. I don't care if only two people are in here. If God says preach, I'm going to preach. Amen. If God says teach, I'm going to teach. Yep. Because I have an audience of one watching. And so whether God gives him tens of thousands of people who enjoy his music and are inspired by it and are blessed by it, that's great. We are not saying God does not want those things for you. We are not saying that God doesn't want you to financially prosper. We aren't saying that God doesn't want you to have great influence or a lot of friends or to be married or to have children or to have a successful family. What we're saying is let God define for you what success is, so that you're not disappointed when you're not meeting the world standard, but you're meeting God's standard. Falling short, failure is falling short of the glory that's in Christ, not falling short of man's standard. Verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value. If I'm a millionaire and have millions and millions of dollars, praise God for that. But if I lose it, I shouldn't be lost, because my trust should have never been in that. If I have a lot of friends and people like me, that's great. That's wonderful. More people, more influence. More people to bless. But if they all desert me, like the disciples deserted Jesus, was he a failure then? No, because he said, me and my God, me and my Father, we walk as one. And as long as he's happy, I'm happy. He says, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value. Where is the value? Where is the success? Knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. All the things that the world tells you that you have to have, you have to have in order to be called a success is rubbish. It is rubbish. It may be found in him. Where do I want to be found? I want to be found in him. I don't have to be found doing all the things the world says that you have to do to be a success. I want to be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, not doing things my own way, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. That is my heart's cry. If I don't achieve anything else, am I getting to know him better and better? That is relationship, fellowship, and communion with God. First and foremost, before anything else, before any job, before any career, before any marriage, before any children, before any travel, before any trip, before any money, before any wealth, do you know him? Do I know him? Am I walking in relationship, fellowship, and communion with him? Is that my heart's cry and heart's desire? Or is it something out here in the world where I say, Lord, you help me get what I want? That I may know him and the power of his suffering, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And here's the key. Not that I already obtained or have already become perfect. Here's what my focus should be. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He laid hold of you for a reason. God saved you for a reason. My pursuit should be finding out why he saved me, why he laid hold of me, because there is a specific expression that God has through you in the earth, and you need to find that out. You need to get before him in prayer and say, Lord, what is it? I just want to do what you've called me to do. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. What is the goal? The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, mature people in Christ have this attitude. Their focus is Christ, not man. not the world. As many as are mature have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will clear that up for you as well. We're talking about godly success tonight. The world can't tell you what it looks like to be a success in family, in marriage, in ministry, in church, in business. You are a born-again child of God. You must allow God to say, this is what we're doing, this is why, this is where we're headed. And if you never get any applause, you never get any fanfare. You never have a lot of people, but you have the people that God has called you to and the people who have been called to you and who resonate with what it is God is doing through you. Then while your fanfare may not be today, guess what? In eternity, which lasts much longer than today, there will be plenty of fanfare. There will be plenty of applause. There will be plenty of clapping with God and Jesus being able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. A lot of people didn't clap for you. Guess what? Your clap is right here in eternity. Your clap is right here in heaven. Well done, my good and faithful servant. A lot of people didn't connect with you, but that's okay. You didn't have the fanfare here on the earth, but you got the fanfare here in eternity. Just clapping, 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 clapping for you. That's what we want to hear from the presence of God, from the Spirit of God. He has given us a body to do his will. If I'm doing his will each and every day, I'm doing what he told me to do each and every day, no matter how big or small it is. If it's helping someone across the street who's crippled, if God said do that, that's success. If it's praying for somebody that God has put on your heart, that is success. If it's blessing somebody with a dollar, that is success. If God told you to do it and God has directed you to do it and it's in line with his word, that is where your success comes from. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pastor? Good job, man. Yes.
God has placed his promises in the center of his will. As we do what he has called us to do, there will be houses, there will be cars, there will be land, there will be, all that stuff is given back to us when we're obedient. And God adds riches, but he doesn't add sorrow. It's a byproduct, not a goal. Seek first the kingdom of God. Excellent word. Excellent word. Thank you, Brother Brian. We want to bless Brother Brian with some financial blessings. He delivered the word excellently tonight. Let's be a blessing to him. He blessed us. Father God, we thank you for this time that we've been able to be in your presence, in your house. Father, that for the praise and worship, for your spirit, your presence, Father God, to be in your throne room, worshiping at your feet, Father God. We are so thankful, so thankful. And the hearing of your word, Father God, we receive that into our heart. And we say that the seed of the word is planted deep in our heart. And because we are good ground, that seed takes root and grows and produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness, your fruit. The fruit that you, the cause that you sent your word to, Father. The words that we have read, the words that we have heard tonight, you have sent them to us tonight for a purpose, and we know that your word does not return void. So we lay hold of those truths. We lay hold of those things so that the enemy does not steal them from us. We will not let them slip. We will not let them fall before us. But we grow, we mature, we gain in the kingdom of God every day in every way. And we thank you for it, Father. We bless your name. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's going to wrap it for us. We've got no praise team rehearsal tomorrow. Serena, don't leave yet. I've got something for you. Can you walk straight?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to mention, Sister Rosie told me that she had some bags of fruit. So if you want some good vittles, talk to her after assembly. That's all.
All right. See there? Fruit's already being produced. What was I saying? Oh, Serena, don't leave. And then tomorrow night, no praise team, but on Saturday night, we've got prayer meeting. Friday morning at 6:15, men's prayer and communion. Sunday, we've got church, and then it all starts all over again. I would say one thing about November the 8th, Brother Brad is coming in. He is fully recovered, and he's been, I think, several weeks now in Brazil, been preaching down there. So he's up and running again, and we're excited about having him back. Pardon? COVID. See, he was supposed to be with us in Mac during the summer, but he had to be quarantined and all that stuff, but praise God, he lived. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So keep that in mind and stand with me. Let me speak a blessing over before you run out. I call you blessed of the Lord. I say that the Lord shines his face on you and his blessings are aimed at you continually. You're surrounded with divine favor. You are children of the Lord, taught of the Lord. Great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And because you are God's chosen, no weapon formed against you prospers. But every tongue, every activity, every word that would be spoken against you falls fruitless to the ground because you are a child of the Most High God. Everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of his presence, and you are the light that brings illumination and peace to every situation, to every circumstance, in every room. Everywhere you go, you are a representative of the Most High God. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. You lack for nothing. You need nothing because God is your provider. Amen. You are blessed to be a blessing. We'll see you on Saturday night.